Hey, Barb.
Yes, Jeffrey.
Did you hear about the guy that swallowed $20 in nickels on a bet? The doctors were observing and said, so far, no change. Amen. See you next week, folks. Yep. See? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. We lift this time and this message up. We put them into your hands. Let your will be done with them. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever's not, just let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue today with a series of messages we've been doing on what the Bible has to say about judgment. Now, it's been 8 years since I've been here, and it's the first time I preached on it, so it's not something we preach about a lot. But there are some very interesting things that Scripture has to say about judgment. There's a lot of things we assume that aren't true, and Scripture speaks to it directly. Scripture makes it clear that divine punishment and reward is not one size fits all, that there are degrees of both. And this is a matter of divine justice. Even we have a sense of justice, believing, at least in theory, that the punishment should fit the crime. Generally, we do not sentence a speeder to the same fate as a bank robber. Neither do we sentence all who commit homicides to the same fate, because there are degrees and reasons. Scripture tells us that all who are declared guilty are sentenced, but not all are sentenced the same. Likewise, not all who are pardoned are rewarded to the same degree. There are mitigating factors and there are aggravating factors in every life, and God knows them all, and he applies them fairly to his rulings. He knows what was done and why it was done. He judges action, motive, and circumstance when he applies his sentence. His sentencings are always based on truth because all evidence is presented. And there is never a misinterpretation of the facts because he's omniscient, or a misapplication of the law because he is the law. There is no higher authority to appeal to. His rulings are final. I've heard the lament that it doesn't seem fair that the one who gossips meets the same fate as a murderer. They do, only in the sense that they are both found guilty and sentenced. But they don't in that they are not sentenced to the exact same punishment. Neither is reward universal. There are degrees of a reward based on the facts of our lives. They will be just and they will be universally accepted. When the books are opened, they are open in front of everyone. Everyone will know exactly why reward and punishment are as they are. There will be no objection by anyone to the degree of either. Now this morning, we'll begin by looking at the fundamentals, the judgment of our deeds, the results of our deeds, and the deeds we failed to do. Revelations 20, 11 through 12 says this, the book of evidence. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence the earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things written in the books, according to their deeds. It says, all of the dead, every one of them, will be there when the books of deeds are opened. Everyone will know, and all the evidence will be presented. When God issues his rulings, everyone will know exactly why. There will be no grounds for objection. See, our standard is beyond a reasonable doubt. God's standard is beyond any doubt. We recognize that we cannot know everything, and that it's possible that some bizarre, inexplicable event could have taken place. But as a jury and as judges, we are permitted to dismiss them as unreasonable, even if they were technically possible. This is why the aliens made me steal the Twinkies defense is not generally accepted. It's possible, but it's not reasonable. Besides, everyone knows that aliens eat Mars bars, Starburst, Milky Ways, and moon pies. And if you believe Steven Spielberg, Reese's Pieces.
Elliot.
Yeah, okay. God knows exactly what happened and why you did what you did once the books are open, so everyone else will know what you did also. Luke 12:2 said, "But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known." Uh-oh. All crimes and all acts of grace will be revealed, as well as all mitigating or aggregating factors or influences. Matthew 16:27 says, "For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will then repay every man according to his deeds." What you did and why you did it, so that whatever words, thoughts, or deeds are built on a solid foundation will stand in your defense, and whatever is built on fabrications and plausibilities will cause your defense to crumble. Matthew 7:24-25 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it has been founded on the rock." You see, we often think of the rain and the winds as trials in this life. But for a moment, think of them as the trial of your life before God. Things that prove where you have put your hope, what you've built your life on, the truth as it confronts your life. Now, we must also consider the words of Jeremiah 17:9-10. "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Well, God answers that question. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his way, according to the results of his deeds." Our hearts being deceitful is problematic for us, but not for God. We believe our own lies simply because we desire them to be true. Even we cannot understand the depths of our own illness, it says. We can't make sense of what we desire to do. Who has said to themselves, "Why did I do that? I know better." You see, God invests his time in the truth. He searches for it in the hearts and the emotions, and he tests the reasons of our minds, our intellect, so that it could be revealed to all and our lives judged correctly. He does this so that each man will get what he deserves for what he has done and for the far-reaching effects of what he has done. And this is important. We never think about this. The harm or the good he did not see that his actions caused. Every ripple in the water that has caused another to struggle or to be blessed. The term results comes from the word for fruits, peri, the thing that grows out of what you plant, the effects of your deeds. So we are judged and punished by God both for doing wrong and for the harm the wrong did to others. This is why we often say things like, "It's not like I'm Hitler." You are, and you're not. You are in that you did evil deeds, you sinned. You're not in that the deeds you did not cause the harm to others that his evil deeds did. There is punishment for both, but not the same degree of punishment, and we will look into that next week. In either case, the standard of divine holiness is not met, and this excludes us from the presence of God. Jeremiah repeats his claims in chapter 21 and 32. It's not the only time it's there. 21:14 says, "But I will punish you according to the results of your deeds, declares the Lord. I will kindle a fire in its forests so that it may devour all of its everons." Jeremiah 32:19, "Great in counsel and mighty in deeds, whose eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, given to everyone according to his ways and according to the fruits of his deeds." It would follow that justice would be demanded not only for the wrong you did and the unseen harm it caused, but also for the results of what you did not do that you should have done, sins of omission. Proverbs 24:11-12 says this, Deliver those who are being taken away to death and those who are staggering to slaughter. Oh, hold them back. If you say, see, we did not know this, does he not consider it who weighs the hearts? Does he not know it who keeps your soul? And will he not render to man according to his work? James 4:17 says it this way, therefore, the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Every time you knew that there was something you should do and you did nothing, it was sin. And each instance is in the books, and they will be read in front of you and everyone else. Not so that other men could judge you, because everyone's going to have the books read. Nobody's going to fare any better. But so that the truth will judge you, and you will know that truth. And what does the truth do? It makes you free. So, not only will we answer for our evil deeds and the results of our deeds, we will answer for the results of the good deeds we did not do. Judgment is serious business. It is by far the most serious business of your existence. Because after all is said and done, our God is still a consuming fire. And that is in the New Testament. I know I don't say these things often, folks, but it's a truth we all need to reckon with. So what of grace? What about not coming to judgment, as noted in John 5:24? What of the redeemed of the Lord, the sheep of his pasture? Does this apply to us? Are we judged? Of course we are. The judgment seat of Christ is everyone. But for a different reason, for a different result. Revelation 20 says the dead will be judged according to their deeds. So, unless you're not going to die, death being the ultimate proof of sin, you will be publicly judged by what you have done and what you've not done, either for punishment or reward. And more about the reward and his sheep in a couple of weeks. There is a great value to the books of our lives being opened and reviewed before all, especially for us, the sheep. There's little value for the goats, because only justice is served. Every sinful, rebellious, pride-driven thought, word, or deed of our lives will be presented before us and everyone else for a reason, so that we will know fully the horror of our pride and fully comprehend the splendor of his grace. These are the things that we will need to know to our core if we are to be blessed by the Father as joint heirs with Christ, who is heir to everything. The final reckoning of who we were and who he is to us in that moment when you see the great need that you have for grace and you fully comprehend it, because you have seen everything that your pride was. Also, I believe we will be made to consider the evil we each would have done if the Lord was not responsive to our pleas, lead us from temptation. That's why we pray it. Because if he didn't protect us from ourselves, what does it say? We would be sifted like wheat. If Jesus did not protect Peter, he would have been sifted like wheat. And that's Peter, not me. Free from the lies and deceptions of pride is how this ends up. The less you are deceived by it here and now, the less you will be humiliated by it there and then. Be humble now or be humiliated then. It is a base choice of our lives. What you should do, do what Christ would do. Be the image of Christ in a cold and dark world. Matthew 25:44-46 says this, then they themselves will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? When did this happen? And he will answer them and say, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it, in the extent that you did not do it. It doesn't say you put them in jail. It doesn't say you made them hungry. It's what you didn't do. You did not do it to the least of these. You did not do it to me. When you think of it that way, it carries a little more weight. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. There's not a whole lot of theology there. Luke 12, 47 through 48. And the slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act, didn't do what he should have done, in accordance to his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of flogging will receive but a few. For everyone who has been given much, much but will be required, and to whom they entrust much, of him they will ask even more. Many and few are terms of degree. Some will get a harsher punishment, and some get a lighter punishment. The punishment is not the same. Most of us, given the option, would opt for fewer lashes over the many. Point is, we are given the option here and now for what happens there and then. Exercise your option for righteousness now, because it will matter then. Fear of the Lord is still the beginning of all wisdom. Love of the Lord is the completion of it. Scripture lists several reasons that punishment will vary in degree of harshness. But the core of each reason is always the same: justice. It's just. Because justice is not what God does. Justice is who God is. Knowing what we would have done without God's hedge will be the fatal knife to the heart of our pride. It will leave us with nothing to stand on but the rock of God's amazing grace. This last moment of regret of pride will be followed by an eternity of humility that will enable glorification without fear of failure ever again. Pride will be slain by the painful but necessary truth we have learned about ourselves on our journey away from our Lord. Temporary failures become eternal wisdom, so that we can have all things, but no thing but Christ can ever have us again. The final tears of regret must be shed by the sheep, and once they are wiped away by a Father's loving hand, never to be shed again. The truth will make us free. The complete, unaltered truth of both our pride and of God's grace. What we desire will be changed by feeling the full weight of what we once desired: to be like God. And these three scriptures will be seen and understood as divine harmony. First, Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You are to be perfect. To what degree? To the perfectness of God. That's it. That is the standard. There's never been any other. That's all there is. Then you read Romans 3:23, which says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we have a standard that none of us have met. Then we have Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. The three work together. What God has demanded of us, God has supplied for us. And both the need for it and the cost of it will be fully appreciated by us as the books of our lives are read out loud. In that moment, you will fully understand what it was you were and who you are now because of Jesus Christ. And there will be nothing but joy in your heart and thanksgiving. And your knee will bow and your tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord. All glory will go to him who has made us the sons of God. This life is preparation for eternal glory, even our failures. So, James 1, 2 through 4 really means something. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, the ability to go further, the ability to do more, to be more. And allow endurance to have its perfect result. What result? Perfect. Perfect. That is your destiny. You are destined for perfection. You were created to be perfected. God is good. So that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's your future. Count it all joy, every bit of it. To find the depths of grace, the books of your life must be opened. Your deeds, the effects of your deeds, and the deeds you failed to do will all show you the grace of God and what he did for you. What follows that? What follows that moment we call glory? Next week, we'll look at the specific factors the scripture tells us influences God's degree of punishment and reward. And I just want you to think about this. Think of times in scripture before next week where God or Jesus said, "This will, you know, your punishment will be greater and yours will be less." Pilate, did he not say that to Pilate regarding the Jews? There it is, just tons of them. And we don't want to think about it because we don't want to think about judgment. And second, we don't want to go into it that deep anyway. So, but if it's in there, it's worth knowing. Amen.